Now, at this point, there will be a whole bunch of people in the church family who will think, what on earth is a fractal? And then there will be another bunch of people who think, I know what fractals are, but I've got absolutely no idea what they've got to do with church. And I want to assure everybody we'll all be on the same page in a few moments' time, but I want to speak about something that I've been thinking about quite a lot recently, and I think that there's something to share with the church this morning. But first of all, by way of celebration, this week we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. Yes! And there is something quite bizarre, because whenever I have told anybody that this week, everybody has said the same thing. They have said, oh, Keris deserves a medal. Anyway, this was obviously 25 years ago. This was before I started dyeing my hair grey. Looking at that, I do feel very, very old, actually. 25 years, goodness me. I did have another moment during the summer when I did feel very, very old. I was sitting around a table with some friends, and we'd been out chopping some trees down, and my friend Graham had come out on this with this rash all over his wrists. And I said, oh, Graham, hold on. There was somebody in the church who had a rash like that, and they went to the doctors and the medication didn't work, and it got worse and worse, and then they realised that they were allergic to plants and they just had to stop contact with the plants. Maybe it was something in the garden. And Keris was looking frantically at me over the table. I said, Keris, what's up? She said, Andy, that wasn't the church, that was Downton Abbey. In my sad decrepit geriatric mind, fiction and reality had got mixed up. I was now actually part of the Downton Abbey story. Now, I know this is distressing at two levels. One, that fiction and reality get mixed up in Andy Hickford's mind, and more concerningly, what was I doing watching Downton Abbey? You know, Isaac made me do it. But what was true of my mind is actually, sadly, too often true of the Church of Jesus Christ. We get fiction and reality mixed up. And we'll come back to that in a few moments' time. I want to start this morning thinking about this idea of fractal church, and I know we don't know what that means yet. I want to read to you some verses from the Bible. John 15, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept the Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I've loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Now, there's a word that repeats time and time again through that reading. Did you hear it? 11 times the word remain. Jesus says to his disciples, remain in me. He's just about to go to the cross, so this is an important speech. What does that remain mean? That word is essential to understand for anybody who wants to be a follower of Jesus then and a follower of Jesus today. What does Jesus mean when he says, remain in me? And to help us understand something of what that means, I want to introduce you to the idea of fractals this morning. So, fractals. Fractals are a shape or a pattern that has a symmetry of scale. In other words, it's a pattern that repeats and repeats and repeats. That means that you can look at that pattern at any point, you can zoom in at any point on the pattern, and it will basically be exactly the same shape. You can go in an infinite number of times and it would still look the same. The pattern is self-similar. So on these diagrams here, you see there's a triangle, and the triangles multiply, and it can go on forever and ever and into all eternity, but wherever you look, the pattern will still be a triangle. Everybody with me so far? So it's a pattern that repeats. The same one is true down here of a square. Those arrangements of squares could go to infinity, but you zoom in on any particular part of that infinite picture, and it still looks like a square. Okay? A fractal. The more it changes and grows, the more it's the same thing. A pattern that repeats. Now, creation is full of fractals. Repeating patterns. Now remember, you can zoom in at any part of a fractal an infinite number of times and it will still look the same. So let's take ferns, for example. There you've got a fern leaf, but each one of those has a strand coming off, and what does it look like? It looks like that. And then if you zoom in again to the next level, you can see that each one of those strands looks like that. And then when you get to the microscopic level, guess what a fern looks like? There's a fractal pattern to the way ferns are designed. And so fractals carry on. I thought I'd throw this in. It's not only beautiful to look at, but mathematicians get very excited about fractals because there's a beauty about the mathematics that undergird them. There's a shape and a pattern to the maths. And here is a fractal... I can't even say the word. Anyway, this mathematic thing, which describes the algorithm, which describes what a fern looks like. Now, frankly, that may or may not be true. I have no way of telling because I'm rubbish at maths, but I found it on Google. So anyway, but apparently the maths of fractals is amazing. But all over creation, there are these repeating patterns and patterns and patterns that actually, if you zoom in on any point, it's a repeat of the bigger picture. Snowflakes have a similar structure, as does rock formation, and that's accentuated when water comes down. Just Google images, fractals, and you'll see literally hundreds of these examples of fractals in creation. I've just thrown up a few here. Lightning has a fractal structure to it. Wherever you zoom in, it has a similar shape and pattern. This is the human lungs, and you can see how the blood vessels grow, and there is this fractal shape to it. You zoom in, and it has a similar design. Here is DNA, which has this same kind of fractal pattern to it. It would appear that fractals are part of the beautiful way God orders his creation. So here we've got this idea of fractals, a pattern within a pattern within a pattern. Everybody with me so far? Okay. So, with that in mind, let's go back to the verses that we read just a few moments ago and see how that understanding of fractals, patterns within patterns within patterns, help us understand what Jesus was talking about there and helps us understand what that word remain is all about. So, with this idea of the same pattern repeating infinitely, let's look at John 15. Because in John 15:9, there is a fractal pattern at the heart of God, at the center of faith, and helps us understand what it means to follow Jesus today, to remain in him. The pattern is this: as the Father has loved me, so I love you. You then love one another. Four stages of a pattern. As the Father has loved the Son loves the disciples are to love one another. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on for infinity as people are to love one another, one another, one another. And it's not just one singular line, because we have more than one relationship. Do you see the fractal pattern there? Do you see that? John 15:9, as the Father has loved me, so I love you, so you love one another, and this pattern begins to spread. But it's much more intricate than that. The Father loves the Son loves us, and we're to love each other. Wherever you look along the line, it's designed to be the same pattern. So to remain, in one sense, is a fractal pattern of relationship defined by love. A fractal pattern to love others as Christ loves us, and as the Father loves the Son. We are to be a fractal church of love. But there's more. How do we remain in Jesus' love? Well, it's very simple in John 15. You remain in his love by keeping his commands. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, verse 10. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Do you see the pattern? That the Son has been obedient to the Father, and now the disciples are to be obedient to the Son. So this fractal pattern of love is measured and structured and strengthened by obedience. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. So obedience is the reality test of love. It's all right to say you love Jesus, but obedience is the reality test. And just as the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the disciples, and we're to love one another, so in this fractal relationship, the Son is obedient to the Father, and the disciples are to be obedient to the Son. And it's this loving obedience which binds this fractal of what it means to be fractal church together. Are you with me? Are you seeing how this thing builds? And fractals are helpful at another level, because Jesus isn't saying, look, the Father was an example to me, and I'm trying to be an example to you, and then you go and be an example to others. He's saying more than being an example. Remain means more than that. Remain means hold on to what you've been given. Abide was a way that the old versions of the Bible translated this word. Stay where you are in this new identity I've given you, is saying Jesus. And fractals are helpful in understanding that. On the cross, Jesus became sin so that we could become sons. He took our guilt so that we could have his life. He took upon himself our identity so that we could have his identity. It's the fractal pattern of sonship, that God looks on us as his sons because we are now in Christ. Through the cross, God made us his sons too. He's gifted us with this new identity. So remember about fractals, wherever you zoom in, it looks the same. Oh man. So God looks at us, and Jesus took on our identity at the cross so we could share in his. So he looks at you and me this morning, and the pattern is the same. He sees Jesus. Wow. Okay. So when Jesus says remain, it's so much more than follow my example. It's maintain this new identity I've given you. Stay in the design pattern that you and I now share. So we remain in Christ by being obedient to him and loving others. And remaining is an act of response for what Jesus has already done for us. Everybody with me so far? Can you see how this idea of fractals, it's not the whole story about what Jesus is talking about in John 15, but as I've thought about it, it opens up another window to look through it at. This repeating pattern that wherever you zoom in, it looks the same. Only by living in this fractal pattern of loving obedience will we produce fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, says Jesus. And by bearing fruit, we glorify Jesus, who then in this fractal pattern glorifies the Father, because he gets his disciples doing what his death and resurrection accomplishes, so he brings glory to the Father. So when we fail to produce fruit, we deny God the glory which is rightfully his. But fruit that rises from our obedient relationship with Christ is how Jesus glorifies the Father. And fractals help us understand that bit in verse 7, where Jesus talks about, and you can ask whatever you wish for. Because in a fractal, you zoom down and it always looks the same. So if we're living as sons, we will be thinking and seeing and praying and wanting what the Son wants. It's this repeating pattern. Fractals give us a way of picturing what it means for you and me this morning to remain in Christ. The pattern continues. Get it? Wherever you zoom in, it looks the same. Now, when you start thinking like that, fractal patterns are all over the Bible. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, and then, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. This repeating pattern, as the Father treated Jesus, so Jesus treats his disciples. How about these? Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. It's fractal patterning. Wherever you zoom in, it looks the same, because God showed us his life in Jesus. Jesus reveals his life to the disciples, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the church becomes this fractal reflection of who God is to a broken world. At least that's the theory. And it's more than just ideas. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing in John 5. So Jesus only does what he sees his Father doing. But then Paul says, actually, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So Jesus is looking to his Father. We're looking to Jesus. But then it goes on in a fractal church, Philippians 4:9. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, said Paul, or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. So Paul is saying, okay, you watch me, I'll watch Jesus. Jesus is watching the Father. But then in Timothy, he takes it one step further. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who are qualified to teach others. Do you see the fractal pattern? The Son watches the Father, the disciples watch the Son, and the church watches the disciples, and so it goes on. It's the power of example. It's a fractal pattern. Jesus shows us what to do because discipleship is a fractal pattern of doing what Jesus did. So when Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, he said an amazing thing to his disciples. He said, it's better that I go. You have got to be joking. This is the most riveting speaker that has ever lived. He raises the dead. He casts out demons. He heals the sick. And Jesus says, actually, it's better that I go. On what universe, on what planet could that ever be true? It could only be true when we understand that fractal church could not exist until Jesus went and the Spirit came. It is only the Holy Spirit who can replicate church on that scale. Whilst Jesus was on earth, he is limited to one physical body. Fractals help me understand why Jesus said it's better for me to go, because then this fractal church can spread, because it's only the Holy Spirit who is birthing in us this sonship, this birthing in us of the presence and power of Christ through whom the church can grow. Fractals help me understand why Jesus said it was better that he goes. So it's after the ascension that the Holy Spirit came in power and made it possible for the church to grow, reflecting the image of Jesus to the world. Fractals give us another way of understanding what the Bible talks about when it says we are the body of Christ. We're in the shape and pattern of Jesus. And wherever we zoom in, it's supposed to look the same. We are the body of Christ, all inextricably linked together, being molded in the image of Jesus, and this fractal God working through a fractal church, reaching out into the whole world in which Jesus is no longer limited in the physical body that he was in the first century. Spiritually speaking, it's like DNA. Jesus gifts us with this new identity, and that identity continues to repeat. Remember, wherever you zoom in on a fractal, it looks the same. If you are a Christian, you are part of Jesus' body. We are charged with the responsibility to look like Jesus and spread the fractal pattern of millions of people who look like Jesus and see the earth changed. Okay. Fractal church. Everybody got that idea. So what? Back to Downton Abbey. Reality and fiction. All sounds great, doesn't it? But what happens in practice? The challenge of church is to understand that actually, the challenge of faith, the challenge of being a Christian, is to understand that what we have just looked at is the reality of God. Fractal church is the reality. God replicating his life and purposes through his people. That is reality. The church bearing fruit through remaining in this fractal pattern with Jesus. That is a reality. A fractal pattern held together by loving obedience, made possible by this new identity that we're given in the Holy Spirit. That is reality. That's the way God works. God is the ultimate reality. But in our lives, our versions of faith and church are much more often works of fiction. If we are bitter and angry people, if we're compromised and disobedient, what happens to the fractal? When you zoom in, it doesn't look like Jesus anymore. The fractal mutates. It no longer looks the same. If we love our lives more than we love Jesus, we stop looking like Jesus, who loved the will of the Father more than his own life. If we replace a sovereign God with a sovereign self, we stop looking like Jesus and the fractal mutates. If we say we follow Christ, but belonging to the body of Christ costs an absolute minimum in our thought process, prayers, time, and money, the fractal of the church mutates, and everybody around us suffers. This is the reality of the way God has made the world. But we so often live a life that fails to live through that pattern of Jesus. So how do we know? How do we know if we're remaining in that fractal pattern? How do we know if we're a good reflection or not? How do we know if this is consistent with the way God has designed the universe? That's very, very easy. If you remain in me, you produce fruit. And if you don't remain in me, you don't produce fruit. It's not rocket science. It's hard, but it's not complicated. It's brutal. But it's not unfathomable. Jesus makes it really clear. Oh, by the way, when we live this fractal pattern, it produces fruit. it by definition keeps multiplying. The pattern spreads. If we're not being fruitful, we're not. There's something wrong with the way we have gone about remaining in Jesus. That's a bit uncomfortable, isn't it? It's hard, but it's not complicated. There's a difference. The truth is, there is a frightening complacency, particularly amongst Western Christians, about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We have redefined what it means to be Christian without taking seriously about what Jesus says about remaining and continuing this fractal pattern of what it means to be church. In the human body, when DNA mutates, what happens is that disease breaks in and syndromes begin. And when things go wrong in DNA, things go wrong in the body. And it's the same is true of the church. When things start to distort in the body, we see it first by bearing no fruit. But then the church gets less and less and less of a reflection of who this God is. Which brings us, finally, to the communion table. Jesus is present. And we can come to this Jesus this morning who says to every single one of us, remain in me. Our lack of fruit challenges our complacency. Our sin and our selfishness is a mutation of Christ's fractal church. It damages everyone. Only loving obedience to Jesus holds the fractal pattern of the church together. But it's not in our own strength. It's the Holy Spirit who makes that possible. He promises to do for you and me this morning what is humanly impossible, and he changes us from the inside out to continue this pattern of worship. And at the heart of this church's worship is a fractal invitation. Jesus took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body." And he took wine, he said, "This is my blood." And at the heart of the Christian worship is this fractal where we invite Jesus into ourselves and we step into what Jesus has done for us. We eat to remember all that he accomplished on the cross. He gave us this new identity. So take, "This is my body broken for you." If you, like me this morning, feel a very poor fractal, that I don't yet reflect Jesus the way he would want to be reflected in my life, he says, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." Step into this fractal relationship, because wherever you zoom in, it looks the same. And by taking bread and wine, we're saying, "Look, Jesus, I want to look the same as you. I want to think the way you think. I want to live the way you live. I want to leave behind sinful patterns of behavior and compromise. And I want to step into this identity that the cross has made possible." And when we come to drink wine, he says, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink this until he comes." We drink, we eat to remember, and we drink to become. Stepping into this fractal pattern of the church spreading. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Isn't that great? We're invited to step into this beautiful reflection of God called the Church of Jesus Christ, his kingdom reign. But the idea is it only works when at any place in the fractal you zoom in and the pattern is still the same. Loving obedience. Now, if we're not signed up to that, whatever you do, don't drink this and eat that bread. Paul said, "You eat and drink judgment on yourself." It's a big deal. It's not about being perfect, otherwise I wouldn't be taking this, but it's about intention. Jesus, I want to step out of my disobedience and I want to step into the obedience that you showed the Father. I want to be part of that loving obedience that will flow through the world as people follow Jesus. And this morning, this needs to be practical. For some of us, we can't eat the bread and drink the wine until there are specific things that we confess as wrong in our lives. There needs to be some practical stuff happening here today. Repentance. Some of us need to start by praying for the first time. Jesus, I want to sign up to this fractal. I want to be a Christian. I want to become part of this story. I can't do it on my own. Lord, please replicate your pattern of life in me. Some of us have been faffing around for ages with things that should have been sorted a long time ago. Baptism, partnership, I don't know what it looks like. Sorting out our giving, it doesn't matter at one level what it is. What really matters is we know what a step of obedience looks like this morning. Because fractals are very, very practical. They work out in the nitty-gritty of everyday life. You cannot be part of the fractal of the kingdom of God and come to church once or twice every year or whatever. I mean, we sign up to something big here. The replicating of the life of Jesus through his people so that the world might know. And some of us just need to come in just confession saying, my life is not bearing fruit. So you up for this? Probably ought to think about that for a while, won't we? Why don't we bow our heads and we'll just have a time of quiet. The band are going to come up and we're going to start to worship in a few moments, but let's just have some silence for a bit. You are invited into the fractal relationship of God, Father, Son, Spirit working through his church. We can only come with his forgiveness. We can only become part of this pattern with his new life made in us. It is only possible through the Spirit. But we can remain in what God has gifted us with through loving obedience. Communion this morning is about throwing off everything that hinders, every compromise, everything that gets in the way.